Welcome to episode number 251 of the Family Podcast Network. Today we're joined by best-selling author Andy Andrews, who's going to come and talk to us a little bit today about producing standards that cause extraordinary results on the kids that we raise and influence. That's right, we've got a fantastic interview lined up today where Andy's going to tell us a little bit more about why it's important to take your parenting to the next level.
Welcome to the Family Podcast Network, where we help you work with your tough kids, and even those that aren't. Coming to you from Tuscola, Texas, home and headquarters of the Family Podcast Network, here's your host, Trey Gibson.
Well, hello and welcome to this episode of the Family Podcast Network, helping you work with your tough kids, and even those that aren't. It doesn't matter if you're expecting, if you're a brand new mom or dad, or even if you're a longtime seasoned parent. There is always something that we can do to take our parenting to the next level. Today is September the 25th. It is the middle of the week, Wednesday. Our topic for today is we've got hanging on the line with us today just one of the more fun interviews that I've done with best-selling author Andy Andrews. He's got a new book coming out called The Noticer Returns, and we're going to talk today about some of the principles of taking your parenting to the next level. And let me tell you, this interview was fantastic with the exception of one thing. It had to be short. Andy is a busy, busy man. Let me tell you, when we were sitting down trying to schedule out with his media folks when we were going to have him come on the show, it was a bit of a juggle. And we had to work around a lot of traveling that he's doing. We're going to talk here in a little bit about why. This guy's all over the place talking to some big daddy people about some big things. And you guys are going to find today why I'm bringing him on the show, because his concepts and philosophy about what we're going to be talking about are spot on, fantastic, and wonderful. And I'm glad this new book's coming out. I'm going to definitely encourage you guys to pick yourself up a copy of it. Before we do that, guys, let's jump into the housekeeping for today. As always, if you want to get notified of new episodes that are coming out, what the heck did you talk about today, Trey? Oh, dadgummit, I would like to have heard the interview by Annie Andrews, and I wish I would have known it came out sooner. Simple way you can do that. Jump over to thefamilypodcast.com in the right-hand side. Enter your name and your email address. When you put that in there, you'll go on a list. So every time we knock out new content, you will get an email. Just for you guys that are out there that are signed up for that email account, I do have a request from you guys. I need some help. FPN has definitely encroached on the age that we are growing, and we are growing fast, and we are now at a point to where I feel comfortable offering out advertising to certain folks that are out there. Now, I will not sell anything to anybody that I would not first sell to my grandmother, so it means that I won't sell you guys on something that I don't believe in, and I mean I have to really believe in, as in if I don't own it, then it's because I have met with that person, and I know I've talked with them, and I know they're offering a solid product. So what I proposed is this. If you guys have anybody that you think we can reach out to and contact, that I can give a call and say, hey, listen, here's what we do. Here's what we have. Come on the show. And if you can't come on the show, then let's talk about advertising or that kind of stuff. Like, how can we offer you value? Let's get you eyeballs on your product. And reach out to those people that offer that good stuff. I don't want people that just sell anything. I want those people that sell those good things, those things that you love, those things that you in parenting have bought, whether it's cribs or cradles or diaper bags like the diaper dude that I have that I love. We're going to hopefully get Chris, the CEO of Diaper Dude, coming on here pretty soon. If nothing else, I'm going to talk to him about seeing if we can get him on the show and pitch his products, because I love his stuff. But who can we reach out to that you guys trust and love? If you guys would, a lot of things that I could get you to do. Just jump on your computer real quick for me. Shoot me an email to TreyGibson@TheFamilyPodcastNetwork.com and let me know who those people are. You can also jump on Facebook. Hop on your computer and get on Facebook for me and shoot me an instant message or throw it in a thread. There's a thread out there. You can also respond to the email that I'll send to you that you may see if you're already on the list already. So check that out. Be thinking about that. Who can we reach out to? Who would you want a discount to? And let me see if we can make something like that happen. Guys, also don't forget, we do have a blog over at thehomeopodcastnetwork.com/blog. My wife writes those, and they are fantastic. She right now is in the middle of working on our own website right now, so her endeavor has kept some of the posts down. But you got to go check them out. They're funny. No, they're hilarious. She writes so well and so good. You definitely got to go check those out. Guys, don't forget, you become a P-Tacker. I want to say thank you to everybody who keeps signing up as P-Tackers. You guys make the world go round for me. Let me tell you, it has been wonderful. FPN is so close to being a completely self-sustaining business. at the rate it's going. So I want to say thank you to you guys who have joined. You guys have been a lot to me, especially to our newest one who added, Jeff. Thank you so much for jumping on to the show. I really do appreciate you and what you are adding. Guys, don't forget, if you have any questions, comments, thoughts, or concerns, a lot of ways that you can do that. You can. I would encourage you, flip open your phone or your computer and go to your mail app and shoot me a question that you might have through email. I love answering those. But even better, if you're on your phone, jump on over to thefamilypodcastnetwork.com. And over on that right-hand side, you'll still see that ability to click Ask Trey a Question. You can ask a question. Put an app on your computer so that you can instantly ask me questions right through that app that'll come straight to me and ask me a question. What do you got? What do you want to talk about? What are the things that you're interested in that you want to hear on? To all of those who have sent emails to me these last couple of weeks, I did get your topic cues. We are working on getting those in the rotation. We've had several that have come through, and now we're getting a PTACR membership built up, and I'm getting a lot of those in. So you've gone into a queue. You have not been forgotten. We'll see about popping those shows out for you guys as soon as possible. Also, guys, there's several other ways you can also contact us. You got a phone, you can call us 661-PARENT-0, leave us a voicemail that way and ask your question. We'll get it on the show. And you guys can always head over to Facebook and leave an instant message and touch base with us that way. We love to hear from you. We want to hear from you. Shoot me a message as soon as you get a chance. And let me know what you want to hear your show on, because we want to talk about it. All right, with all of that out of the way, we have hanging on the line today best-selling author Andy Andrews, who has been hailed by New York Times reporter as someone who has quietly become one of the most influential people in America. He is a best-selling novelist, speaker, and consultant for the world's largest corporations and organizations. He has spoken at the request of four different United States presidents and recently addressed members of Congress and their spouses. Zig Ziglar has said, Andy Andrews is the best speaker I have ever seen. He's the author of the New York Times bestsellers, The Traveler's Gift, The Noticer, and How Do You Kill 2 Million People? He lives in Orange Beach, Alabama, with his wife, Polly, and their two sons. Andy, great to have you on the show, man.
Trey, I'm honored to be here, man. Thank you for the time.
Well, I tell you what, I appreciate you reaching out to us. And one of the things we're going to do, we're going to sit down and do a little bit of talking about your new book that's coming up, too. I tell you, I'm really excited about this. I've cracked this book open, and I have really been enjoying it. And I tell you, Andy, what caught my attention the most was one of the things that you put that we're going to learn out of this book that really I love and I'm super passionate about is this right here. You mentioned that the standards that produce extraordinary results in the kiddos that you raise or influence. And I love that. And I'm so glad that you're writing on this kind of stuff here. So let's just kind of jump into this. And I apologize for blowing and going. You've got a busy schedule, so we're going to get you in and out with this.
Good.
Most of the folks that come on this show, one of the things that they're primarily looking for when they come to the Family Podcast Network is they want to take their parenting just a little bit deeper. So, you know, we're always looking for how can we take our lives further. And so a large part of this is figuring out what exactly separates the average from what everybody else is doing. So one of the first questions that I wanted to ask you is, what is the difference between an average life and maybe, say, the extraordinary life?
Well, you know, that's a great question. And the average life is one that is an obvious life. It's one that when people have the opportunity to do this or that, they tend to do this because so many other people are doing this. And that's the way this is done. And this is the way the industry works. You know, besides speaking and writing, I work with teams. I work with corporations. I have several of these as clients. And it is amazing to me how many times people bring those things to me. So now I even say, as we're starting, I say, now, let me tell you what your enemy is going to be here. If you want to achieve extraordinary results, your enemy is going to be thoughts like this. Well, I hear you, but the way this industry works is, well, I hear what you're saying, but reality is, or well, I hear you, but historically what we have done, see, with parenting, parenting is just like anything else. We want incredible results if we're putting the time into it. And frankly, if you're doing what everybody else is doing, and you're thinking like everybody else is thinking, you're probably doing something wrong.
Yeah.
Because everybody is not achieving results that we would look at and call extraordinary.
See, I think that's really good. You know, speaking of extraordinary, I think that's a fantastic principle for parenting, because the reality is so many people adopt a parenting mentality that fits the status quo. Well, everybody is doing this. This is what I'm supposed to be doing. Obviously, because if everybody in society is parenting this certain way or with this certain methodology or with this kind of practice, then it must be the best way. And, you know, I'm a major I reject that a lot. Don't get me wrong. Sometimes society gets it right. Sometimes they get things. I'm like, you know, that's not a bad thing. But the reality is that a lot of the stuff that gets pushed out there is not extraordinary. It's what everybody's been doing. It's producing average, if not even average, results. Sometimes it's less than average. So I love what you're talking about. So that leads me to my next question then. What is wrong with being average? If society dictates, hey, this is what we do, and this is what you're supposed to do, and this is what a good parent looks like, or this is what a good life would look like, what's wrong with being average? I mean, isn't that a good thing?
No. It is not. And I'll tell you why, Trey. Because the average always sinks. You know, the average never goes up. It always falls. If you look at the standards that were created that really created the greatest generation. I mean, if you look back at us 70 years ago and realize that was a group of people that we look at now today and we say that's the best we ever were. Those people, they produced more, they became more, they sacrificed more, they were more. And we all, you know, it doesn't matter if you're a Democrat or Republican or liberal or conservative or Christian or whatever, we all agree that is the best we ever were. And yet we don't remember that it is not them that should really get the credit. It's the parents and the grandparents who raised them, by what standards, to create what we think is the best we ever were. Yeah. And then you look now at our declining, what many of us feel is a declining society, and what standards are parents looking to today? Because really, parenting is the fulcrum that our society actually balances upon. When I deal with college athletes or pro athletes or people in corporations, anytime I deal with a disaster, it's very odd to me. I look at that and I know, like, I'm dealing with an adult here, but this was not really an adult problem. This was a parenting problem that was not addressed 30 years ago.
Yeah, that's good. You know, we talk pretty frequently here that one of the worst enemies to excellent parenting isn't bad parenting. Most people say, okay, what's the worst enemy of excellent parenting? They'll say, well, it's bad parenting. In reality, it's not. If you think about the bell curve, where do the most people typically lie on average? Well, they lie right there in the middle, right there at that good parenting. So I always tell folks that I think the good parents are those that are the ones that are the biggest enemy to excellent parenting. We found something that works. We can get our kids out of the door and they don't die in high school. And so, yes, we're successful, you know? And so we question that mentality here a lot is how do we push ourselves to being excellent? And I think you're right. I think there's some standards to this. And you mentioned several times just a second ago about these standards. And I noticed in the book, The Notice of Returns, that's mentioned quite a few in there. So, why are standards important, and which ones do you recommend that we set for our lives?
Well, I think that people need to determine their own standards. But I think that if you got together a group of 100 parents, that after, you know, with a facilitator, with a little bit of leadership, they would probably come to the same ones. You know, they would come to the same results. Because, see, you know, what you said about a huge enemy of great parenting is good parenting. That's true, because good is the enemy of best.
Yes.
And so people kind of stop at good and they never really strive for best. Well, when people are looking at standards, and in this book, The Notice of Returns, it's an old man leading a parenting class. Mm. And he asks questions that lead them to realize that, man, up is down and black is white and right is left and green is red, and we have gotten our society so upside down that we don't even know what we're gunning for. Because you hear people say all the time, they'll say things like, we're just trying to raise great kids. Mm-hmm. You know, we want to raise great kids. And in this book, Jones, the old man, he says, no, you are not. You are not trying to raise great kids.
Yeah,
because we all know parents who had great kids for 18 years, and then the kids got away from home and went nuts.
Yeah.
What you've got to understand is you are raising kids that you want to be great adults.
Yeah, that's good.
And so there's a big difference, you know. And he talks in here about how there are people who are upset at what Solomon wrote so many years ago, you know, train up a child in the way that he should go. Mm-hmm. And when he is grown, he will not depart from
yes.
it. And there are so many people, Jones says in this book, he says, you know, there are people who are so mad about that because they think they did it.
Yeah.
And now their child is gone and he is not staying with. So he says, but you got to understand that Solomon did not write, make a child do exactly what
yes,
you want him
good.
To do for 18 years, and when he's 18 years old, he'll keep doing it. That isn't what it says.
That's good.
And so this is why there has to be wisdom in teaching the child and explaining why. You know, because a lot of the parenting that I received, I had great parents. I always felt like I did. But I look back at some of the things my dad said, and I realized that, you know, one of the things my dad said was, because I said so.
Yes.
Uh-huh. And as long as you live in my house, you're going to do this, and you will speak to me respectfully, and da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And really all that did, all that did was make me, I remember thinking, okay, I'm not always going to be in your house.
Yeah.
I didn't say it, but the thing is, if somebody had explained to me, And man, oh, Trey, you talk about the chickens coming home to roost. I have a 13-year-old, about to be 14. And the other day, we're in the kitchen, my wife and I and Austin, and I was trying to explain something to Austin. Austin said, I know. And boy, my wife looked at me like, don't strangle him. You know, and so I took a breath because I remember, you know, I said that to my dad and my dad crawled all over me. But I know that in this parenting class, in the notice of returns, this old man says, why? Mm. Why? It's the why that is such a key. And so I try to remember that. And so Oz said, I know. I said, hey, Oz, can I tell you something? I think there are two reasons that you do not want to say, I know. I said, the one reason, this is why, the one reason is because it sounds really disrespectful,
yeah.
and you're not a disrespectful kid, and I would hate for somebody to hear you
yeah,
say something
beautiful.
Like that,
mm-hmm.
and then you would be denied an opportunity, or they wouldn't have chosen you, or they wouldn't give you the job because they thought you're a disrespectful kid. So you're not, so you need to be careful doing that. And the second reason is, buddy, you know, I just want to create the life that you want. I want
yeah.
you to be the adult that is happy and productive and financially secure and your relationships are great. And so what I'm trying to do, I don't know everything. And, you know, when you say, I know, maybe you do, but I don't. And so the way your dad thinks is kind of out loud.
Yeah.
And since you're kind of my best buddy here, I think out loud with you. And so I may tell you 20 different ways and say, well, it's like when we get the big fish up next to the boat. That's the time. Or, you know, it's like when we're out on the golf course. And,
yeah.
well, it's like when we're watching. And I say, you know, you may be tempted to go, I know. But, buddy, we're just trying to come together to create the best life for you.
Yeah.
So give me a break, all right?
You know, I think you just nailed what I think is the main goal of parenting. And I think for some reason we miss this. You know, and I can't not raise my hand, Andy, whenever I say that I do this as well. But our main goal of parenting is to grow our kids, and it's to grow them into healthy adults. And it's not to react out of our anger. So when our kids do something that seems defiant, in most cases, they're trying to say, state, or communicate some need they need from us. Now, I admit that maybe they're doing it in the wrong way. My oldest daughter, who's 7 years old, has just gotten to that point where she's realizing that she can now begin to exercise some of her desires to daddy now, even if that's not what daddy wants. And some of my natural reaction is I want to blow. I just want to squash this rebellion now. Is that mentality that goes through my head. And that has never served me well. And it interests me that we practice it over and over and over with this same mediocre, if not really bad, results and expect something different. Funny enough, just the other day, matter of fact, it was yesterday, Andy, I was reading an article that was released about teenage, about the idea of teenage kids, and that really this is an offshoot that's come very recently in very Western culture, where we've now begun to throw our teenagers into this group of adolescents, and we've kind of created that very recently. And I actually have a theory. And I don't have any empiric research to back this up, but I think a lot of this teen angst that we're getting from our kids is that they're reaching a point where they acknowledge they're supposed to be more like adults, but we still shove them into – we expect them to act like adults, but then at the same time, if they ever act like a kid, we just crush the hammer on them. So we don't actually allow our kiddos to grow up, and I think the concept that you're talking about in this book is fantastic. We got to grow our kids. We treat them with the same level of respect we give an adult. I'm not saying you treat them like an adult or anything like that, but you give them that same respect that you would give somebody that you work with at work. So my next question for you is, I noticed that in the Noticer Returns that there are quite a few stories that are both true stories that are kind of mixed in with fiction. So I had to ask you, which parts of that are true? And I got to know, did you actually know Jones?
You know, I really did.
Fascinating.
I really knew this old man. In fact, in the first book, The Noticer, the very first chapter is absolutely true. Really? The rest of it is more my imagination, but that first chapter is true. And in The Noticer Returns, you don't have to have read the first one to read the second one. The second one has, you know, it deals with parenting, it deals with business, yeah. and even Alzheimer's and death, but the story, there are so many parts of that, like the issue about the swimming pool. I don't know that I want to. I don't know that we want to blow that story right now. But the issue about the swimming pool in the book, that is absolutely true. That's in the Noticer Returns. And really? Yes, he really did push me in that pool in the middle of the night. And of course, you read the book and you'll find out why. But yeah, that really happened.
That's fascinating. I never saw that coming.
Yeah, I never did either.
I figured that one was probably one of the ones that you pulled in to make a good story, so that's even better. That makes it even – now I got to go back and reread it now knowing that. So next question is as a society, let's take this from a societal level, what do we need to be doing in order to change our culture? Because that's a big part of what we've got going on here, because this mentality that we're talking about even with our kids, I see that kind of encompassing all elements of leadership. And so I think in reality, the best thing that you can do in yourself as a parent is to work on your leadership skills. And the same leadership skills that you would apply at your job or on a soccer team that you're coaching or with your own kids, there's a lot of these things that need to be the same. So what do we need to be doing to change our culture?
You know, the first thing that Jones said in answer to that question, and this is detailed so perfectly in the book, I think, is to realize, number one, everybody talks about a culture and creating a culture and the culture they have. And people don't realize that everybody already has one.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Right? I mean, every family has a culture. Every city has a culture. Every football team has a culture. Every business does. I mean, if you're in the Dallas-Fort Worth airport and you say to somebody, what's it like to live in Dallas? They may say to you, I don't live in Dallas. I live in Fort Worth.
Right.
Because even though it seems kind of the same to us, they live there and they know it's totally different
right.
culture. Well, people believe, and this is the important part to creating a culture for your family and creating a culture for your business or your generations to follow you. People need to understand how a culture is created. And we are mistaken about how it's created, because most people believe that a culture is created by choices. By choices and decisions. And this is the way people talk. They talk about, you know, making good choices and, you know, I made a bad decision and I am taking responsibility. We tell kids this. We say, make good choices
right.
now.
Yeah.
Was that a good choice? Make good choices. You're going to make good choices today.
Right.
And really, when you think about it, that's like telling a kid, take this quarter, go outside, and I want you to flip heads every time. Did you flip heads every time? Okay. Now, all right, we're going to have a good day. We're going to flip heads every time. Well, we'll see if the kid has no knowledge of how to actually do that. Then you're confusing enough. And then when they come back and say, yeah, well, didn't know, was that a bad choice? Yeah, that was a bad choice. So we're going to make good choices. You know, and really, honestly, it's like, well, I hope. And so what people need to understand is there is a foundation below choices and decisions.
Mm.
And that is our thinking.
Yes.
And nobody ever wants to talk about it because nobody, you know, people don't want to, it's like it can sound offensive or they don't know how to explain it. But our choices and our decisions are totally governed by how you think, what you think, how much you think about it,
agreed.
What you choose not to think about.
Absolutely agreed.
And so it's the thinking. And so we shape our thinking. We shape the thinking of our families by what we allow to come in, by what we read, by what we watch, by our conversation. I mean, if my wife and I don't watch it, and we have to watch it because we kind of fall into this thing where, well, now this is important on TV, so let's watch this while we eat. And we have to all the time go, nope, turn the TV off. Okay. And my plea to parents is turn that television off unless you are watching something specifically.
Yeah.
Because you would be shocked at the things that are not just getting into your kids' heads, but they're getting into your head.
Yeah.
That doesn't really need to be there. And if it is your thinking that creates your culture, then what is creating that thinking? Because our thinking determines our choices. Our choices, what do they choose? Well, they choose an action. Even if that action is to do nothing, that doing nothing's an action. We all know people who had this kind of thinking that chose, I will sit here in this chair and do nothing. I'll show them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Well, yeah.
You know, the thinking creates the choice. The choice choosing an action. An action yields a result. And those results are what people look at and they consider that our culture. That is our culture, the results of what we are. And so at the bedrock, though, if we want to change a football team, if we want to change a family, if we want to change a child as he's growing up, then you have to get to that bedrock level. You can't just say, make good choices,
yeah.
Flip heads. You know, you've got to create the way, help them understand how. And you know, the pieces of that come together about how to make good choices.
You know, I think what you're hitting on, Andy, is extraordinarily insightful. You know, we teach here a lot of times when parents are having just heck in a handbag working with a kid, we'll often start with the most obvious thing. We work on, okay, what's your correction look like? Because sometimes maybe the correction just, it doesn't help the kid grow. And it's too much about adding a punishment and not enough about teaching them what we want them to do. If it's not that, then we may move to like, how are we teaching them? And so it may be that the teaching lessons that we're using for the kids aren't quite sharp enough, and they're not understanding what we want from them different. Then we move on to like the relationship between the parent and the kiddo. Sometimes kids don't really care what parents have to say if they don't feel like you care about them first. And then if that's not it, then we'll take a look at, okay, what other relationships going on around you are having issues? Is there problems in between, you know, mom and dad, if they're separated or something like that? Or even sometimes parents with teachers, strains in those relationships can create a hard time for kids as well, because these are two individuals they're supposed to respect and honor, and yet they're not working well. But the last thing is what you talked about, and it is the single hand most important, I think, personally. And I also believe it's the thing that trips people up the most in parenting and in all other avenues of their life. And it's that thinking piece. It's the way that they're thinking about that person. And if you've got a parent who is looking at their kid as though this kid is just being a little jerk, if you've got that filter of thinking on the, you know, what you're looking at here, then it has a tendency to affect everything else and what they're doing. Even when they're trying to practice good technique and correction and teaching and all that other good stuff, it's not coming out authentic and genuine. And kids have just a built-in radar for that, and they can smell it whenever it's something like that, and they can just absolutely shut down. And if we don't evaluate, how am I looking at this? Am I seeing this an opportunity to teach my kid what I want them to do different? What a wonderful learning opportunity to teach them that we don't, you know, pull our private parts out in the middle of public. If we see it instead as, oh my gosh, they're embarrassing me and they're going to make me look like I'm a bad parent. If we're filtering our thinking through that, it can change everything, and our kids don't learn anything except, oh, look, I get this really cool and funny reaction out of mom and dad whenever I do this. So I think it's really insightful that you're hitting that. Okay, Andy, we got a couple minutes left up. I'm going to go ahead and wrap us up on our last question for today.
Okay.
One of the key points in the book that you mentioned in there is that you can't believe everything you think. What does that mean?
You know how, Trey, that if you're like me, there's been something in your past that and this is true for most people, that we know something. Man, we know it, and we can argue it, and we can win the argument. And then then maybe months later we find out, ooh, yeah, that wasn't exactly correct. And so the thing is, everybody's done that. So that begs the question, okay, is there a possibility that something you know now could be wrong? Well, yeah, you go, yeah, of course, Andy, I could be wrong about something. Okay, well, if you could be, then we don't really know what that might be or how many things that might be. And so what happens to most people is we only know what we know. And since we only think as hard as we're forced to, most of us,
yeah, yeah,
and since we're out of school and nobody's really forcing us to think anymore, any harder anymore. So when we bump up against what we know, and I put those finger quotes around that word, when we bump up against what we know, we tend to move to something else,
yeah,
rather than move and push that boundary on knowing more about that. And what happens is that some of the things that you think, some of the things that you know,
yeah,
are incorrect,
yeah,
and or they have changed. And so that's what Jones said to me when he said, hey, dude, you can't believe everything you think. And that is to keep learning, to keep understanding. Yeah. You know, there's so many things there that seem right. They seem right. But when you get a little closer, they are skewed,
yeah,
to reality.
Yeah. No, that's good. You know, we frequently refer to that in our household with our kiddos as being humble. And that ability to, you know, and I admit that I grew up in a generation that particularly we thought we had it all figured out. And I think a lot of us are starting to hit the wall on that. And parenting was one of those things for me. I thought I had it all figured out. I survived high school. I did pretty good. I had some good feelings about my parents. And so I must have this figured out. And I remember that first bite of parenting humble pie that I took a hit of. And just realized, man, there's still a lot of this stuff that we don't have everything figured out. So we actually instigated in our family an ideology of question everything. We question everything. I mean, we tell our kids to question everything. Everything that we say as parents, question that. We challenge everything that we believe as well, just because we want to try to prevent from falling into that. I think that, once again, I think that's another incredibly insightful thing that you bring up in that book. Andy, before we wrap it up today, anything else you want to do? You want to plug yourself, your book, whatever else you got?
Well, I would love for people to join us. I'm on Facebook and Twitter. Just find Andy Andrews and click like. I will be your friend. I'm on andyandrews.com. I have a podcast too. It's business and life and family, and it's called In the Loop with Andy Andrews. And I really am excited about this new book, Trey. It's The Noticer Returns. You can get it in any bookstore. And on Amazon, and I would urge you to check it out and see if this might not be something you want to give to your friends.
All right. Well, Andy, once again, I sure do appreciate having you on the show today. Hopefully we maybe get you back on again and get a little bit extra time. We can talk some more. I love picking your brain about this. You've got some great perspectives on parenting. Well, guys, that's all that we have for this episode of the Family Podcast Network, helping you work with your tough kids and even those that aren't. If nothing else, we will see you guys on Friday.